This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is wonderful to be in this time of worship together, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. The Spirit of Christ connects us in this time of worship. I would invite you to take a moment to let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there's a link that you can paste and put into your browser. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you would sign those and pass them down and back again, and be sure and note the names of the people sitting on the pew with you. And if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to greet someone and make a new friend this morning. I have just a few announcements as we gather this morning. First and foremost, an introduction to make. I want to introduce to you my friend and colleague, Reverend Jefferson Furtado, who is our preacher this morning. Jefferson serves on the annual conference staff as the ministry assistant in the equipping area. So he visits around a lot of different churches in our conference and has his finger on the pulse of ministry right now. Prior to that, he was the senior pastor at Connell Memorial United Methodist, and before that, he was on the staff at Belmont United Methodist. So he has lots of experience in ministry, and you are in for a powerful word this morning. We have a few things happening in our building this afternoon. Want to let you know about. At 2:30 this afternoon in McWhorter Hall, there's an event sponsored by NOAA, Nashvillians Organized for Action and Hope, to raise awareness around housing and affordable housing here in Nashville. And it's called The Game of Rent, and it's an interactive experience that is meant to be educational and inspiring for us. So we'd love for you to come to that. Then at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly service of Taze Worship, which is a contemplative service of music and prayer. We invite you to come and join us for that as well. There will be no Wednesday night programming this week in preparation for the Thanksgiving holiday. And then next Sunday, the season of Advent begins. And we want to invite you to a mini retreat on Saturday, December 3rd in the morning. There's information about that in the bulletin. And of course, our wreath-making gathering on Sunday, December 4th, which will be at 4 o'clock. And if you could RSVP for that, that'll help us know that we need the number of supplies that we need so we can all have an Advent wreath in our homes during the season. Next, I want to invite Betsy Hay, who's one of our faithful church members and a member of the hospitality committee, to share a ministry moment with us about some opportunities to share the loving light of Christ during this season.
Good morning, West End family. I'm Betsy Carr Hay, member of the hospitality ministries team. As all of you know, the Advent season is fast approaching, and we're expecting an excellent turnout for all our services and celebrations. We're excited to have all of you come and need your warm and inviting help to make sure West End shines the light of Christ on everyone. We need volunteers to help with greeting, parking, handing out bulletins and candles, and guiding our guests to childcare at the Advent services throughout December. On December 4th at 9:45 during the Sunday school hour, we have a brief training session in the library outside of Reed Hall, where we'll designate roles and provide you with more detailed information. Please email Aaron Racine. You can text the contact number found in your bulletin to let us know what events you can help with. Also, there's a table in Reed Hall this morning that you could sign up after the service. Our church family's made up of the kindest, most welcoming folks in Nashville, and we're excited to work with you this Christmas. Let the hospitality that we all experience at West End pour out on each other, our guests, and our community. Thank you.
So much, Betsy, and for the work that the hospitality committee does. So many people who have come to visit West End have told us how warmly welcomed they feel, and we want to be part of that, so I hope you'll reach out and sign up for one of those opportunities. Now it is time for us to open ourselves to this hour of worship as we hear about how the Spirit breathed life into the dry bones and the vision of Ezekiel. Let us receive that renewing spirit in this time of worship together.
Oh,
The Spirit of God brought us here. The Lord set us down here, though our bones are tired. Can these bones live?
Yes, the breath of God will revive us. The Word of God will make us.
Today we come together to experience new life. Let us give thanks for God's life-giving Spirit among us. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. God of love and compassion, forgive us for when we turn away from the world as it really is. We forsake lively and risky faith. We refuse our call to be agents of love and transformation. We ignore your grace as you yearn to breathe life into the world. Renew us with your grace and ground us in your Spirit, that we may be empowered to live in word and deed as testimonies to the power of your love. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of us in the sanctuary, do that however feels most comfortable for you. And if you are at home, you can send a text or share your peace in the chat or with somebody that's in your home with you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson is from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37:1-14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, saith the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
If you are a child or a child of any age, you're welcome to come up and join me for our children's time. And if you're watching with us online, you can move a little closer to your screen. Good morning. All right. Good morning, friends. Okay. So I've got a bowl of something. What do you think it might be? Rock. Pastor Emily thinks it might be rocks. What is it? Part of? Yeah, it's macaroni. Raise your hand if you like macaroni. Yeah. Adults in the room, anybody else like macaroni? Yeah. Okay. So, but something seems to be missing from this macaroni, right? It needs to be cooked. It's still dry. Do you think this would taste very good right now? It might be kind of crunchy, but I'm not going to find out. It does. So it doesn't taste very good yet. So it's missing something. What's it missing? It needs to be cooked. What else is it missing?
The cheese.
The cheese and what else?
The heat.
The heat and the milk and maybe
water
to cook it in and the butter to make it taste yummy. And some people put cracker crumbs on the top. Yeah, so yummy macaroni, but it's missing something right now. And this dry macaroni, which isn't quite ready, reminds me of our story we just heard that was talking about dry bones. Bones are in our body, but if there's just bones, they're just dry bones, they're not alive, are they? They have to have all the muscles and the blood. They can't move, yeah, until they have life in them. And so a guy named Ezekiel comes into this valley of dry bones, and God asks him, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, only you know, God. And guess what? God puts the bones back together and breathes life into them and makes the bones come to life again and puts life back into something that was dry. Just like when we cook the macaroni and add milk and cheese and butter and all the yummy things, it comes to life and is better. And it also is kind of like our lives. When we experience hard things, we might think nothing good is ever going to come because we're experiencing something hard or sad. But guess what? God can continue to work in our lives and bring good things out of hard things because God loves us and God is always with us. Just like God breathed life back into the bones and milk and butter and cheese breathed life into dry macaroni, God can bring new life to us as well because God loves us so much. Let's pray together. God, sometimes we face hard things and life seems hopeless. Help us to remember the lesson of the dry bones and the dry macaroni. If you can make dry bones live again, you can make something good out of the hard things in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, friends. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can follow me and Pastor Emily to Children's Church. Everybody else can go have a seat with your families.
What a joy it is to be in worship with you this morning. Some years ago, a colleague told me that from time to time, he said, Jeff, from time to time, you have to invite other preachers to your church. Because that way your people will know and remember how good they got it. So that I imagine today you are in for a treat as you grow to appreciate more and more your pastoral team as you hear me. All jokes aside, I am grateful to Carol for her most gracious invitation, and I hope that you truly know how amazing your pastoral and staff team here at West End truly is. And I have had the joy of journeying with them, and I am honored to call them friends and colleagues. They have poured into my life in more ways than I can describe, and I continue to be blessed by their ministry, and the ministry continues to bless all of us, not only here, but in all of the spaces beyond these walls, in our conference, in our denomination. And I pray for their fruitful ministry among you. I also want to extend a word of gratitude to you as a congregation for all of the ways you continue to support and be involved in the work of Christ in our midst, in the work of our conference to discover, equip, connect, and send lay and clergy leaders who shape congregations that offer Christ to a hurting world, one neighborhood at a time. The truth of our connection, as our bishop often reminds us, is that transformation doesn't happen at annual conference or jurisdictional conference or general conference as much as we may wish it did. Transformation and connection happens here, where we, the people of God, come into contact with one another and experience the transformative love of Christ. So thank you for all that you do and continue to do, so that the realities of the kingdom of heaven will be visible on earth. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us, your people. And as we enter into this time of preached word, may your loving word enliven our hearts. May you purify our will and transform our way so that we will be witnesses of the transforming and redeeming love of God for all that which you created and called good. In the name of the one whose gift to us is life itself. Amen. Those of us who were not great students in our middle school years know that few things in life seemed more frightening than being asked a question to which you did not know the answer. I lived in that world a lot. Not only in middle school, but also in elementary school and in high school and in college, something clicked that I realized that if you study, your grades can improve. And I discovered that the library was not just storage for books. There was lots of knowledge and space for me to enrich my mind. But even as adults, many of us struggle to admit that there are things which lie beyond our knowledge and our control. And though it may be difficult to admit, the fact is that none of us, no matter how smart and well-educated and socially connected or financially secure, none of us can see beyond our own horizon. We are limited. But the things that place limitations on our perception do not limit reality itself. There is always more to the reality that we see. This is an important truth that we should remember. For if God is indeed at work in us, if God is indeed at work in our world, if God is at work in our communities, there must always be more to the story. Our text from the book of Ezekiel this morning is a wonderful example and reminder of a reality of hope that lies beyond what the eyes can see. Ezekiel finds himself in a truly awful situation. And you probably know this story very well. His nation was conquered. Their armies were defeated. Their leaders were exiled. The great city of Jerusalem was decimated. Ezekiel's wife was dead. And the temple, which represented God's presence among God's people, was left in ruins. It seemed there was nothing left that could offer consolation or hope. And folk theology at the time thought that the calamity experienced by people was caused by their unfaithfulness, but not only that. In this case, it was an indication that their God had been defeated. The more powerful gods had won the day. And in the midst of their hopelessness, the people cried out for help. But from where they stood, they were not sure if God would answer. But in the midst of chaos, something extraordinary happened. A word came from the Lord. Ezekiel encountered the presence of God in a strange land. He had an extraordinary experience while finding himself in an inhospitable place. At what I assume is a very inconvenient time and among a hostile people. Under these strange circumstances, the prophet saw a vision of God's glory and was commanded to speak God's word to God's people. Words that dealt with the fullness of human emotions in the realities of life. Words of mourning, words of lamentation, words of doom, words of bitterness, words of anger, but also words of hope. I often tell people that the job of the prophet is not simply to call out what is wrong with the world. That's called social commentary. You can turn to almost any news channel and hear much of that. The prophet must do more. The prophet must offer a vision of hope. The prophet must point the people to the unseen reality, to God's preferred reality for our lives. What is God's preferred reality for us today? What is God's preferred reality for our community? What is God's preferred reality for our nation? What is God's preferred reality for our denomination? The story of Ezekiel is an interesting one, full of interesting images, and I almost think that if it was macaroni and our bones, we would connect a little bit more to some of these truths. So here he's led to this valley of dry bones, countless bones spread on the floor. Ezekiel is standing on a field of death and sorrow, where those who had lost their lives had not even been granted the dignity of a burial. And as God chose him around, I wonder what was in the prophet's mind in that moment. I wonder if he even understood what was taking place. I wonder if he considered that location fitting for a nation that had lost everything. But the tour ends and God asks a very puzzling question. Can these bones live again? Can these things that are well beyond the point of death and decay receive new life? And I really wish we could hear Ezekiel's tone. If he was raised in the school of sarcasm, as some of us were, I wonder if he would have told God, who knows? Why ask me? Or if he found himself in a place of deep humility, having lost all that he thought he knew, and say, oh God, I don't know anything anymore. All that I thought I knew is gone. So only you know. You know if these bones can live again. It can be very difficult to see signs of hope when we find ourselves in places of deep despair. But even then, when we find ourselves in those places, God can still reach us and offer something new, something more than our eyes can see. For no matter how dark the path, how deep the abyss, or how powerful the challenge, we never stand alone. And that is the good news of our faith. That is the hope and the promise we find in Christ, who sends us out into the world to share this incredible good news with those who are neglected and rejected by society. Ezekiel and his people found themselves in a reality of death and decay. For them, hope was gone. They were cut dead, but still alive, enduring a reality of existing in non-existence. Yearning to be connected, yearning to be seen, desiring to be acknowledged, but remaining invisible. Dr. Greg Ellison, who teaches Pastoral Care at Kendler, the School of Theology, tells us that such existence takes a toll on the mind. And it takes a vision from God to break out of this reality, to see possibility in the midst of hopelessness. But that is God's invitation to Ezekiel, to see possibility in a valley of dry bones. This is an invitation of faith, one that calls us as a people of God to step outside the realities that we see and trust in the one who is able to make all things new. This is the reality that we encounter on the cross. The late, great theologian, Dr. James Cone, who is one of my very favorite theologians in the world, said something that is very controversial, but it is true. Cone reminds us that the cross that we hold as a symbol of salvation was not a victory. The Romans did not wake up the next morning and said, our plans failed. They did exactly what they set out to do. But in God's economy, we receive victory through defeat. God can invert situations that to the world seem to be great and can help us to see meaning beyond what is present. The death of Jesus is not the full story. There was a resurrection. There was victory over death, and this reality of hope is what we are called to see in our everyday lives. This is not a panacea by any chance, by any means. This does not mean that if we follow Jesus and if we say our prayers and if we come here on Sunday morning, all things will be well with the world. But it does mean that we have a hope that sustains us through times of difficulty. We have a peace that is beyond any human understanding, and we are given a strength by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to travel to places we never thought were possible, to endure unimaginable pain and still have hope, and still say that this is not all, there is always more. What a beautiful story. Can these bones live again? Can we see a reality beyond the challenges of our political and social polarization? Can we see hope where the world tells us that there is only despair? Can we see a world where death and war and violence are no more? Can we live into a vision where our pains are no longer reasons for isolation, but an invitation to new life in community with one another? Can we be the type of people who are not concerned about who others love, but our own calling to love them as Christ has loved us? Is that not the invitation that we hear today? Friends, what do you see? Can we answer the question God asked Ezekiel with honesty and humility, acknowledging that our sight is limited and we really do not know the path ahead, and that we need the direction of the Spirit in order for us to go forward? God is at work among us. And at the risk of becoming persona non grata in pulpits throughout the connection, I will say this. Those who believe that God is done with the people called United Methodists may not need a new denomination, they may need a new God. Because the God that I serve, the God revealed in Jesus Christ, is at work redeeming us, moving us to perfection one step at a time, and inviting each one of us to be a part of this work. Beloved, can you prophesy something new? Can you hear the wind of the Spirit among us? Speak the word of God to these dead situations. Let us speak the word, a word of hope, to the reality of decay that we may see before us. Let us move forward in faith, knowing and trusting that we do not walk alone, that God journeys with us, and understanding that we do not need to see the path ahead. We only need to know that there is a God who journeys with us, and we must trust that the work that God is doing in our midst is beyond our imagining. So let us go forward from this place. Let us go forward from this moment, trusting in the God who can make all things new. who can pull bones together, pull our lives back together, and offer us hope for the future. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We've been invited to place our hope
in a God who is with us and a God who makes all things new. And we have an opportunity now to do just that in our affirmation of faith. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation. It can be found on page 883 in your hymnals. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. One of the ways we participate in the renewing work that God is doing in our midst is through our prayers. And we come to a time now when we join our hearts and voices together in prayer. As we enter this time, I invite you to share your joys and concerns with us here at the church. There are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you if you're here in the sanctuary that you can fill out and place in the offering plate. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website under Contact Us and share your prayers in that way. Your pastors meet every Monday at 1:15 and pray for these concerns and joys one by one. As we move into this time of prayer, there are some specific people we want to lift up together as a congregation. We join our prayers with the family and friends of Willis Manning Ferris II, who passed away on November 9th. A small private gathering of family and friends will be held at a later date. We pray also with Tom Trent and his family, who are mourning the death of his father, John Thomas Trent, who passed away on November 12th in Indiana. Plans for the services are still pending. I got to join Ann Larson and her family yesterday at Woodlawn Cemetery as we had the graveside service for her husband, Jim Larson, who passed away at the age of 101 on Monday. Ann is the longest member on the rolls here at West End. Though they had moved to Texas, she remains on our rolls and is still enjoying her connection with West End at the age of 97. And finally, our prayers are with the family and friends and this congregation as we mourn the death of West End senior pastor Russell Thomas Montfort, known to us as Russ. He passed away on Tuesday of this week in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Montfort served West End as senior pastor from 1980 to 1994. Services for him will be held at Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte on Wednesday, November 30th at 2 o'clock, with visitation following the service. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who breathed new life into the valley of dry bones, as we head into this week of Thanksgiving, we ask that you would breathe new life into us and shape us into a grateful people. Help us to look upon this world, our community, your church, our families, our neighbors, and even ourselves with eyes of gratitude, not ignoring what is broken, but willing to see where your Spirit is at work, bringing about healing and wholeness, justice and reconciliation, renewal and hope. There are many things for which we give thanks to you this day, and in the silence we name those things to you and offer our gratitude. Oh Lord, there are many places in our lives that feel dry, barren, broken, and hopeless. The pain in our community when we hear of another mass shooting overnight. The longing for all to have enough. The strife in our families as we recognize broken relationships. Deep concerns over our health and the well-being of those we love. The need within our own souls to feel loved and accepted as we are. And in the silence, we name before you our needs and our brokenness. Oh God, breathe your holy, healing spirit upon us once again. Revive us, renew us, fill our hearts with gratitude. Shape us into your people, that we might join you in all you are doing to renew creation. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, your new creation, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We participate in the work God is doing in our world through our giving. We invite you to give as you are able in this time of offering. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to the website and find the give button there. This is also a time when we are receiving estimates of giving for next year. We've received many of those so far, excited about what is ahead. If you have yet to do that, there are estimate cards in the pew racks that you can place in the offering plate as you place your gifts there if you're here in the sanctuary this morning. Let us give with deep gratitude to the God who has been so generous to us.
Thank you.
Beloved of Christ, as we go forward from this place, may we grow in the strength of the Spirit, who is able to make all things new. May we go with the certainty that we do not need to know the path, for God guides us each step of the way. And may we go trusting that the God who raised Jesus from the dead is able to make us alive and send us forth rejoicing, singing songs of hope so that the world will join us and know the amazing love of Jesus Christ. So go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.